You're listening to WMUK. I'm Rebecca Thiel. The American Museum of Magic in downtown Marshall looks like any other storefront. But inside, there's a collection more eclectic and more thorough than anything you'll see in the country. Museum director Jeff Taylor showed me around.
All right. Now, the next card I flip over is going to be your card. Was that right? Was it the four of spades?
No.
It wasn't? Did I get it wrong?
It was the two of spades. Very close, though.
No. Oh.
To be fair, Taylor made it very clear that he is not a magician. Taylor says the Magic Museum in Marshall is one of the few of its kind that's open to the public. He says there are larger collections, but they're usually private or dedicated only to one performer. That's perhaps why Bob Lund, a would-be magician, opened his collection to the public in the late 1970s.
Bob did not enjoy standing in front of an audience. That just wasn't his thing. So he actually became an automotive writer and worked in the Detroit area for numerous automotive publications, but maintained his interest in magic his entire life. And the way he stayed involved in magic, by not being a performer, was to be a collector. And so he searched high and low for just anything magic related that he could get his hands on.
And Taylor means anything. Lund even kept a small library with every book that he found that merely mentions magic or a magician, including at least one Nora Roberts romance novel. But the majority of what Lund collected was memorabilia from one-man acts that you've probably never heard of.
Bob was particularly interested in what he called the tall grass magician. And those were the magicians that didn't perform in New York, in Chicago, and Detroit under the big lights. They're the magicians that earned their living traveling from small town to small town. The guy by the name of Gus Rapp, a guy by the name of John C. Green. These were guys that were just one-man shows.
Taylor says many of these posters and flyers are the only records we have of these magicians. So, in a way, Lund preserved their work for years to come. Of course, there are a few artifacts from the big stars.
This is an actual milk can that Houdini used in his act. The milk can was a way of bringing an underwater trick into the theater.
Taylor says one of his favorite pieces in the museum is a book called The Discovery of Witchcraft that was written in 1584. Taylor says it's the first book to reveal how magic tricks are done.
In that time period, the phrase witch hunt was a literal term. So what Reginald Scott did in this book, The Discovery of Witchcraft, was go around and say, look, there are no demons walking amongst us. There are no witches amongst us. These magicians, these wizards, these witches are just doing tricks. There's a drawing here where it actually shows a beheading and shows how it's actually performed. You can see the body laying on a table. Then you can see the individuals that's actually attached to the head sort of underneath. This is a trick that isn't done anymore, which is one of the reasons we reveal this secret.
Taylor says just because it's a museum doesn't mean they're going to break down the tricks for you. The museum only explains how the illusion was presented, not the magician's secrets. Why? Taylor gives two reasons. First of all, the museum wants to keep a good relationship with the magic community. And second?
It really takes the fun out of it. When you know how these things work, they're usually so simple. Bob Lund used to say that, you know, the magician, you know, it's the last place we can go for that sense of wonder. Because as you grow older, you find out the secret to everything.
The American Museum of Magic in Marshall is open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The museum closes for the season in November. For a link to more info, visit our website. For WMUK, I'm Rebecca Thiel.